All right. Well, today we are in part four of our series called Give Thanks. But before we jump into the talk, I want to honor someone in the room. Some of you know, as a church, we're affiliated, or we kind of do this coaching network thing as a staff that with Gateway Church. They're out of Dallas, Texas. Any Cowboy fans in the house today by any chance? All right, good. So we can bash the Cowboys. But I'm originally from Dallas, Texas, not a Cowboy fan, except for the early 90s when they were winning. And then I jumped out of the bandwagon. But anyways, Gateway Church is a church out there pastored by Robert Morris, and so we partner with them in a way of a coaching network, which allows me to get some resources, and they help us, and we kind of are able to grow and learn a lot of things there. And one of their elders is here. His name is Pastor Galen, and so we want to honor him, say thank you for being here, Pastor Galen, because we celebrate them. We learned so much from Gateway. We've been to some of the conferences we went this past year, and their learning communities. We get to learn and grow and as a staff and as a team, and so we're thankful for all that Gateway does and blesses so many churches. They travel around. There's some other part of the team as well out in Orlando at Illuminate Church. One of my friends, Tim Ingram, pastors that church, and so they go around different churches and just help, just kind of help make it better and help grow, and so we're grateful that you guys are here, so thanks for coming today. Appreciate it. Well, we've been in this series called Give Thanks, and here's what we said. In part one of this series, we talked about why we give thanks to God. And we said there's two reasons that we believe wholeheartedly why you give thanks to God. We said simply because God is good, right? God is good because of who God is, that he's a good God. And remember, we said that God is a good God. He's not good because of what he does. He's good because of who he is. And so we said we give thanks to God because of who he is. Simply because of who he is, we give thanks, and then also because of what he has done. And then in part two and part three of the series, we didn't talk about just the why behind it. We talked about how we give thanks to God. We talked about two ways that we give thanks to God. We said we give thanks to God through serving others and then also giving generously. We believe wholeheartedly when we serve other people, when we serve our community, when we serve our church, when we serve one another, when we serve those outside these four walls, when we do that, we give thanks to God by taking care of God's people. He says, when you do it for them, you're doing it for me. And so this is one way that we give thanks to God. And we also give thanks to God by giving generously to him. And so we talked about our compassion offering, and that some of that information is on your seat as well. But we talked about why we give to the church. And by the way, I just want to say, Don Jones, one of our volunteers, did an amazing job last week. Can we give it up for him? So good. And great message. If you missed it, you can go to wearebrave.church, go to our online on our website, and we have it there for you. But such a powerful message on giving. And so we talked about that's why we give. We give because of who God is and what he's done, and we serve others. That's one way we give thanks to God. And then we also give thanks to God through giving generously. And today, as we conclude the series, I want to talk to you about when we give thanks to God. I kind of want to talk to you about this word, the when. When is it we should give thanks to God, and how does that work? Well, the good news is Paul, he's one of the authors of the New Testament, and he writes to a church in a city called Thessalonica, and he tells them when we should give thanks to God. This is when you should be giving thanks to God. And here's what he says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He says this, "Rejoice always, pray continually." This is what he's talking to this church, and he's writing a letter. He's saying, hey, I want you guys to pray, and I want you to worship, and I want you to rejoice, but I want you to give thanks in all circumstances. Then he goes on to say, this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. When it comes to giving thanks, most of us have learned the idea of the word for. You give thanks for something. Someone has given you something. They give you a paycheck. You say, thank you. Somebody opens a door for you. They do something for you, and you say, thank you. We teach our kids, say thank you after someone does something for you. We basically build this idea that giving thanks should occur once something is done for you. Then when it's done for you, you give thanks. In fact, in a few days, some of us are going to sit around a table, and we're going to go around, and we're going to talk about, hey, what are you thankful for? I already got the text message this morning from somebody. Hey, what are you thankful for? And I was like, man, it's not even Thanksgiving yet. But, you know, let's just jump in. But some of you are going to do this, you know, and you're going to go around, and you're going to talk about the things that you're thankful for. And for some of us, we'll say we're thankful for something like this. We'll say health or food, right? We'll talk about, oh, I'm so thankful that, you know, that I'm healthy. And maybe, you know, you're not as healthy as you once were, but I'm so thankful that, you know, I've got health today. Or you're thankful for the food that's in front of you. That's a common one. We'll say thanks for the food. Something else, we'll say this. We'll say we're thankful for family or for friends, right? And the truth is, the only reason why you're saying I'm so thankful for family is because you're sitting around your in-laws, you know, at the time. You're like, man, you know, I just love my mother-in-law. And it's good to do life without you, you know. But because my mother-in-law's here, that's for real for me. Like, that's genuine. But we will. We'll say thanks to, like, you know, family and friends. You know, I'm so thankful to have people around. You know, thankful for our church. You know, it's an amazing pastor. Just thankful for him. And I don't know. So you're just going to say thanks for things like that, right? That's something else. Here's something else you're probably going to say you're thankful for. You're thankful for, you know, income, for a job, for money. I'm thankful for provision, you know. I'm thankful that God has given me a job that I could supply this stuff, you know. So that's something else we're going to say thankful for. And then some of us real Christians are going to say, I'm so thankful that the Patriots have won 6 championships and on their way to their 7th. And, you know, amen. And yeah. And I'm thankful the Cowboys are losing once again on Thanksgiving, you know, probably, you know, that's good. So anyways, we're all going to say things we're thankful for. That's all I'm saying, right? Once you hear this idea that it's thankful for something, I receive, it's so important, I receive something, that's when I should give thanks, when I have received something, when I've got something, when I can say it for. But Paul doesn't say that. He says something different, right? Go back to the verse in 1 Thessalonians, if you would, for just a second. He says, I want you to give thanks in all circumstances. Paul is simply not asking his readers, right? He's not asking them to give thanks for God for the tragedies of life, or he's not asking them or telling them to give thanks to God for misfortune, but he says, I want you to give thanks in the midst of them. I want you to give thanks. So here's when I want you to give thanks to God. In the midst of all circumstances, not only for something. It's good to give God thanks for the things that he's done, but he says, I want you to give thanks to God in all circumstances. That's the win. And I think there's a lot of tension that lies in this particular time where he says, I want you to give thanks in all circumstances. Now think about that. It's easy to give God thanks in the midst of easy circumstances. You got the promotion. Thank you, God. Right? Or you're in a circumstance, everything is going well. Health is there, kids are thriving, things are going well. I'm thankful to God for things around my life. But how do you do that in those difficult moments or difficult seasons of life? How do we give God thanks truly in all circumstances? And that's what I want to talk to you about today. So we know when, in all circumstances, but how do you actually do that? How do you pull that off? Well, the good news is there's several stories that I believe can help us understand how to give God thanks in the midst of all circumstances. And the first one I want to point to is from the story of Habakkuk, and it comes in chapter 3, verse 17. And listen to what he writes about his life, and some of you can maybe relate to this, but here's what he says. Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, some of you, maybe you have no cattle in your barn and you're struggling out there, I know. And this is, yet I will rejoice in the Lord and I will be joyful in God my Savior. Here's what Habakkuk is really basically saying. This has been the worst season of my life. Because for him, in that particular time frame, when he says, I've got no grapes on the vines, that's like saying, I've got nothing to eat in the pantry. I have no food in my house. We are struggling, right? This is a tough situation for me. Then he goes on to say, not only do I have no food, but beyond that, I have no sheep in the pen. I have no money in the bank, literally. We are tapped out. I have nothing. I've lost my job. I'm in the worst possible position. This has been a terrible season in my life. This is a difficult situation. And he says, but still, I will rejoice in the Lord, and I'll be joyful in God my Savior. Think about it. How do you give God thanks in the midst of all circumstances? Habakkuk says, even though things are not as I wish they were, and this has been a tough season, a tough month, this has been a tough year, I will still give God thanks. Second story, found in Job 1, very famous story about how Job struggles in his life. After Job finds out how he's losing his money, he's losing his income, he's losing his house. It goes on to further to say, it gets really, really hard, it gets really heavy, and he loses some of his family. Listen to what it says. He gets a message from a guy, and it says, your sons and your daughters, I just want you to know, were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house. When suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the four corners of the house, it collapsed on them and they're dead. You just lost your whole family, your sons and your daughters, your children. Like, now they're gone. Then he goes on to say, and I am the only one who's escaped to tell you. So Job finds this out, and upon hearing this news that he's just lost his family, it's just an amazing situation that he goes into. Verse 20, he says, at this, Job got up, he tore his robe, he shaved his head, then he fell to the ground to worship. Upon hearing the news that he lost his family, after losing his health, after losing his home, after losing his finances, he goes, I'm going to go and bow down before God. The word worship means to bow down. So he goes to bow down in kind of this reverence to God still in the midst of this difficult circumstance. So how did Habakkuk, after losing everything he owned, and Job, after finding out that a tornado killed his family, most likely, you know, and God's the one in control of the wind, if you would imagine that. So just imagine, you know, the tension in Job thinking, you know, God, why did you do this? God, you're the one that puts that whole thing into motion. Why'd you allow this mighty wind to come through and sweep, you know, my family away? It would have been so tempting and easy for Job to blame God for what had occurred in his life in this moment. So how in the world does Habakkuk on one end, Job on another end, worship and give thanks to God in the midst of their difficult circumstances? Well, look what it says right after Habakkuk 18. It says this. It says, the sovereign Lord is my strength. This is revealing how he did it. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights for the director of the music. This is a song I want you to sing on my stringed instruments. So you have Habakkuk who's literally toughest season of his life. He's got no money in the bank. He's got no food in the pantry. He's got no sheep in the barn. He's got no cattle. He's got nothing around him. But he says, I've discovered something. I will rejoice in the Lord because of this first line. The sovereign Lord is my strength. And I've realized something. He makes me like the feet of like this deer. He kind of enables me. He allows me. Anything he sends my way, he will strengthen me to get through. Even though I'm in this difficult circumstance, I will continue to rejoice in God because I know he is with me. This is an amazing thought about how he pulls this off. Look at what Job does. Job, it goes on to say in verse 21, upon hearing the news of losing his children, he bows down in worship, but then 21 reveals how he's able to do that. How is he able to find out he's lost his family, still bow down, give thanks and praise and worship to God? It says, here's what he says. I've realized something. Naked I came from my mother's womb because I didn't have clothes on. He goes on to say, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. This is upon hearing the news of losing his children. He says, may the name of the Lord be praised. I've recognized something. God gives and God takes, and whatever he says, he is worthy of my praise. I've just recognized that God is God, and God is good, and I'm thankful for who he is and what he has done in my life, and he is worthy of my praise regardless of my circumstance. How do you thank God in the midst of difficulty? He says, it's simple. You got to know God is with you in these moments. You have to know that God is with you. So Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 5:16. We'll put it back up. So when Paul writes this statement, rejoice always, pray continually, when do you give thanks to God? I want you to give God thanks in all circumstances. How do you do that? Well, evidently, Paul could write this letter to this church in Thessalonica because he experienced it for himself. He experienced something very similar to what Habakkuk did and what Job did. I want to unpack a story. It comes from Acts 16, and this is a story that occurs in Paul's life and how he's able to make such a statement. When you find out your children are gone, you have no money in the bank, you've lost your job, you've been treated unfairly, unjustly, the thing didn't work out the way you hoped it would have. When you're in the midst of all those circumstances of life, I want you to give God thanks. Oh, and by the way, God wants you to do this too. This is God's will for you. How could Paul make such a statement? It's because he had experienced exactly what Habakkuk experienced at one point and what Job experienced. Look what happens in Acts 16. It says, the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas. So they're under attack. It says, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. And of course, this is for the faith that Paul had in God. He's being beaten because of the faith in God that he has. It says, after they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. And when he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell, and he fastened their feet in the stocks. He puts them in chains, puts them chained to the wall. About midnight, Paul and Silas, notice this, were praying and singing hymns to God. And this goes on to say, and the other prisoners were listening to them sing as well. So they're singing kind of loud. Now just imagine with me for just a moment being treated unfairly and unjustly, and your response to that is, I'm going to go away and worship loud so that people can hear me. I mean, you know, we get treated poorly at work, and the first thing we do is like text somebody, you will not believe what he did to me. I can't, you know, you come home and you tell your spouse, you know, how was your day? Oh, you won't believe that they just put stuff in my work. They don't even care about me, you know. For Paul and Silas, they're beaten physically, thrown into prison. And they, how great is our God? You know, like, are you kidding? You know, like, wrap your head around that. How do you pull that off? Most of us go into complaining mode. Any complainers in the house? Just nudge the person next to you and say, that's you, you know. Right? I mean, you get on social media for just an hour, and all you see is it's just complaints. A lot of it's just complaining. Why I don't have, how somebody treated me, I don't have no money, no job, I hate my job, blah, 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 blah. You know, any complainers in the house? You are a lying church. The whole right side. You are complainers. You complain about you complain about anything. The point is that, you know, you complain about all this stuff, you know, and Paul and Silas had every reason to complain. They could have complained to God. Why would you allow this to happen to me? Obviously, you don't care about me. I can't believe here I am again, you know, and I'm trying to do stuff for your kingdom, and all you're doing is suppressing and holding me down, you know, all this stuff, and yet they say, you know what we're going to do? We're going to sing a song. We're going to give thanks to God in the midst of our difficult circumstance because they know who God is and what he has done. It's amazing. Look what happened right after Paul and Silas worshiped in the midst of their difficult circumstance. Verse 26, it says, suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And at once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. I just want you to think and consider for this moment. This isn't in my notes, but I want you to consider this. The chains came loose from the thing that was holding them back the moment they began to give thanks to God. Some of you may not be experiencing a breakthrough because you aren't giving God thanks that he deserves. Some of your breakthroughs may happen literally right after you just learn to give thanks to God. You give thanks to God and you just praise him, and then all of a sudden, chains come loose. You know, you cannot be hostile and be grateful at the same time. Try saying thank you to God and then being mad at him at the same time for what he hasn't done. Can't do it. Paul and Silas could have chosen frustration, annoyance, irritation, disappointment, anger, hatred. But instead, they said, that's not where my victory is. My victory is on the other side of me giving thanks to God. So I'm going to give thanks to God in the midst of my circumstance. Here's this, because I know who he is and what he's done. And I've read the Bible, and I've seen the stories, and I know what happens when I give praise to God and I put him first. God sets people free. I know who he is. I know what he's done. So I'm going to give thanks based on who he is and what he's done. And because I know that, I know what he's going to do for me. It's just an amazing thought when you think about this idea where giving thanks to God in the midst of difficulty, when at all times, in all circumstances, knowing that God is with you. It's amazing. It goes on to say in verse 33, it gets even better. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them, washed their wounds, And immediately he, the jailer, and his whole household were baptized. So not only did Paul's imprisonment allow them to sing praises and song to demonstrate to you and I about how to give God thanks in all circumstances, God used Paul and Silas' imprisonment and the fact that they were beaten to save the souls of other people. But see, Paul and Silas didn't know that was going to happen until they gave thanks first. My point to you is, if you want to help lead someone to Jesus, don't be around them as a Christian complaining about Jesus and what he hasn't done and think they're going to go, oh, you know what? I want to follow that guy. That sounds like a good faith to be a part of. No, you're a witness of Jesus Christ. So even though when you're sitting at the table around people, maybe even in your family who aren't believers, don't go to the negative, say, hey, although I'm in a difficult circumstance, I'm going to give thanks and praise to God because I know God is going to be good to me. And then the people who don't know what that feels like or what that is will say, well, how do you know God's going to be good to me? Let me show you. Because God is good. And I'm thankful for what he's done in my life. And I'm thankful for who he is. And I know God will pull me through. What allowed Paul and the others to give thanks to God regardless of their circumstance was their knowledge of what I believe wholeheartedly, and I'm really going on a limb and saying, I believe what led them to be able to do that, to be able to give thanks in all circumstances, is summed up best in Romans 8. And I'm so certain that they would agree on this statement because it was proven true in Habakkuk, it was proven true in Job, and it's proven true in Paul's life. Here's what Paul wrote in Romans 8. He says, I know something. I know something about God. I've learned something about God. I know that in all things, at all times, in all circumstances, I'm fully aware that God works for the good of those who love him. Not everyone, but those who love them, God works things out for the good. I know who God is. I've seen who God is. I've seen what he's done. And maybe he's even referencing in his mind at the moment of writing this in Romans, he's thinking back to Acts 16 about how God got him out of this moment in his life, or different scenarios in his life. In Acts 9, where he gets transformed and God shows up and blinds him for a couple of days, and he's like, I've seen God move. Paul's saying, I know something. I've learned something. I'm so convinced Habakkuk and Job would agree with this statement. All things God works for the good of those who love them. I've learned to say this in my life. I've learned that this is true. Habakkuk had no food, no sheep in the barn, no money in the bank, but I'm going to rejoice because of who God is. And I know that God will work things out for the good. If God has allowed this to come my way, God will use it for his glory. And for that, I'm thankful. Even if I don't receive anything for it. For Job, lost his family, lost his house, lost his health. I mean, he's saying, but I will still rejoice in God. Why? Because Job knew God works all things out for the good of those who love him. Eventually, God will see me through this. And when you look at the end of Job, of course, you know, he ended up getting double the amount that he owned in the very beginning. He knew God's going to work this thing out for the good. He always finishes what he starts. He is working a greater plan, and I can trust that. Yeah, I can focus on the fact that I have no money. I can focus on the fact that I'm not in the particular career that I want to be in. I can focus on the fact that I'm single. I can focus on the fact that, you know, I don't have lots of friends. I can focus on all of that. But when I take a picture of who God is and what he has done, I can give him glory and praise because I know he's using my circumstance for the good. Paul is able to do it. Habakkuk is able to do it. Job is able to do it because they understood that God works for the good of those who love him. Notice they did not praise God for their circumstance. I'm certainly not suggesting, God, thanks for taking my kids. Although sometimes, maybe, you know, I'm certainly not thinking that, but I've certainly said it, to be honest. You know, Lord, if you want to, I mean, you know. It's a tough day today. No. They didn't praise God for their tragedy. I'm not suggesting to you to praise God for the tragic moments of life. What I'm suggesting to you is that Paul is saying and what God is speaking is, but you still give God thanks because you know who God is It's for those who love him. You know that God is working all these things out for the good because they knew God would work out their circumstance for the good. Think about what it would be like to live in such a way that regardless of what comes your way, your first immediate response is, God is going to work this out for the good. God is going to take this situation and he is going to work it out for my good. Even though I found out that news, even though I got that report, even though I showed up there, God is going to take this somehow and he is going to turn it for his good. And all of a sudden, you know what happens? Hope goes up. Faith goes up. Trust goes up. And God responds every single time. Paul says, notice also, it's for those who love God. Listen to me. If people love, trust, and accept God, if you actually love, trust, and accept God for who he is, if you're convinced that God is truly the all-wise and all-loving Father, if you believe that wholeheartedly, then I believe wholeheartedly you can humbly accept all the things that he sends your way. I mean, if he really is all-wise and all-knowing and all-loving and all-caring and he is all-God Almighty, why wouldn't you accept every single thing he sends your way? Everything. Just like Habakkuk, just like Job, just like Paul. They knew who he was and what he's done. So regardless of what came their way, they were able to give thanks to God in all circumstances. But the opposite of that is true. If you don't love God or you don't trust God, don't know who he is, possible for you is simple to resent what happens, to be frustrated with what came your way, to be irritated with the season of life that you're in, and simply live in a stage of fighting against God's will. How many of you right now are living, you don't have to show hands, but how many of you are living in a state of fighting against God's will, and so because of that, you have no peace of where you currently are? Some of you aren't where you currently want to be, but God says, no, that's right where I need you in the moment because I'm doing something better for you. But because you're not trusting God fully in that circumstance, all you do is live in complain mode or resentment mode or irritation or frustration. But if you just learn to trust God in the moment that he has you right where he wants you, and you can learn that he's pacing you on purpose, and you know that he's working things out for the good of those who love him, then all of a sudden, in the midst of that difficulty, you can give him thanks and give him praise. For Paul, for Habakkuk, for Job, they understood this idea that God was working all things out for the good. When do you give thanks to God? In all circumstances. How do you pull that off? Because you know that God is working all things out for the good. If you want to write this down, take this notes. This is what I hope you take away from today. We give thanks to God in all circumstances because we know God works all things out for the good. And I just thought we'd have a little practice because practice makes perfect. Okay, we got a lot of practice to do even on that. Practice makes. All right, you ready? Here's what I want you to do. When do I give thanks to God? In all circumstances. How do I do this? And here's what you say. I know God is working all things out for my good. All right? So I want you to say this, and I want you to say this. When do I give thanks to God? You say, in all circumstances. When do you give thanks to God? That was easy. You guys did great. Good job. How do you actually do that? Someone asked you, how do you actually do that? How are you thankful to God for the difficult circumstance that you're in? And here's what you say, because I know God is working all things out for my good. Now you say this, I know God is working all things out for my good. I know God is working all things out for my good. Now, let's put it real practical and let's see how you feel about saying this. I'm broke. Well, you can say it. You know, y'all got money, but just say I'm broke. But I know God is working all things out for my good. I'm not as healthy as I want to be, but I know God is working all things out for my good. I'm not in the job that I currently wish I had, but I know God is. I'm not in the relationship. No, don't say that. But it's learning that no matter the circumstance, I'm still single. But I know God's working all things out for my good. I'm still trying to jump through this hurdle. I've got this health thing. But I know that God is working all things out for my good. I haven't been able to accomplish that just yet like I've wanted to. But I know God is able to work all things. He is working all things out for my good. Amen. And when you're able to say that in the moment and give thanks to God for who he is and what he's done, all of a sudden, the complaining, the irritation, the resentment starts to kind of fade away. Because you know that God is working all things. How did Habakkuk do it? Because he knew God was working all things out for his good. The Lord is my strength. He's going to enable me to get through this particular scenario. Even though I don't have anything around me, God will pull me through it. How did Job able to say, well, he gives and he takes away. I know who God is. God is with me. God is for me. He will work this out for his good, so I will give him thanks and praise. How did Paul do it, getting in prison and getting beaten and thrown into jail? Because I know God is working all things out for my good. Some of you need to come to just literally came today just to hear that idea that man, when I'm in a difficult circumstance, whether it's happened this past year or I'm in the midst of it now, I need to learn to say, God is working all things out for my good. He's going to turn this whole thing around. So here's what I want to do today. I want to give you a moment to simply give thanks to God. Why now? Because Paul simply said, I want you to give thanks in all circumstances. And I just thought instead of just sending you home and saying, hey, you go do this on your own, I wanted to give you an opportunity to do it today. To learn, to put this into practice in your life, just saying, God, I know you're working this particular circumstance out for my good. God, I know you're working this out for my good. Where my marriage is, I know you're working it out for my good. We're not eye to eye right now, but I know you're working things out for my good of those who love you. As long as I stay committed to you, focused on you, trusting in you, God, you will work all things out for my good. But before we do that, I want to read to you one of the greatest songs, some lyrics, ever written by David about giving thanks to God. Here's what he says in Psalm 103. David writes, praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And then he reminds himself of what God has done and who he is. Look what he does. He just reminds himself. He says, he's the one that forgives all of our sins and heals all of our diseases. I'm convinced. Obviously, David is saying, I'm convinced. God is the one who forgives sins, and he's the ultimate healer. Regardless what the doctors say, God is the healer, and whatever God says goes, and whatever God says is good. He's convinced. Then he goes on to say, he redeems my life from the pit, and he crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, because God is a good God. So he satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I was going to put that part out because I thought, what in the world, renewed like the eagles? What does that mean? Like the band? I don't know. And the idea of renewal of the eagles is referencing a renewal of strength. What David is saying is, maybe he's a little older in life, and he's saying, God, you're going to make me young and like strong again. You're the one that heals sicknesses and diseases, but not only that, you're going to turn it around for my good, and it's going to be like I'm 20 again, and I'm running miles and circles around my kids, you know, that kind of a thing. He's like, God, you're able to restore and renew my strength in the midst of difficulty. And then he finishes the song with this beautiful line. It says, praise the Lord, verse 22, all his works everywhere in his dominion, praise the Lord, my soul. David is urging his soul, his innermost parts, his being. He's urging his soul to praise God and not to forget the goodness of God. It's amazing. I'll tell you this, and I want to give you an opportunity to do it. This wasn't in my notes, but I thought I'd share it with you. A few months back, I've talked to you at church. I went through some health things and was just kind of struggling in my health a little bit. And it was around May, June, July of this year. And there were some moments that Chris and I had, you know, in our closet, crying out to God, God, why are you allowing this to happen, you know? I thought it was just like, you know, I'm 40 now. So, hey, you know, just welcome to the 40 club. And I was like, yeah, I guess so. This is just pain. You're just what you're going to live in pain. And so it went through all these different hospital visits and doctors and couldn't find anything out. And finally, it all kind of boiled down to stress and worry, you know. And God's like, yeah, you just got to stop stressing and worrying. And then you'll release some of the pain. Well, when I went through that season of my life for about 2 or 3 months of just the doctor bills and the visits and all the stress that was coming with that whole thing, finally, you know, on the backside of that, even today, just during worship, I started giving God thanks for that season. I'd written down in a journal that I tend to write in sometimes when I'm just kind of, you know, feeling like God's speaking to me or what God's wanting to say. And in that journal, I wrote down from God to me that I felt like, and I read it the other day, and he just said, you'll get through this, I'll get you through it, and you're going to be stronger on the end of it. And I didn't know what that meant. I thought, well, sweet, maybe, you know, I'll finally bulk up. You know, I don't know, but, you know, however that's going to happen. But but at the end, you're going to be stronger on the backside. Well, on the backside of this, I was telling my wife literally just 2 days ago, we were sitting at dinner, and I told her, I said, my whole life has changed from those 2 months of illness and sickness. My whole life has changed. I had someone come up to me and said, hey, I had a dream about you, just so you know. You were struggling with some sickness, but at the end of the dream, you looked a lot thinner, a lot stronger. And I didn't know what that meant at the time, you know, but now I do. What God was saying is, I'm going to allow you to experience some difficult circumstances. And yeah, and in the midst of that difficulty, you may not see the whole thing, but on the backside of it, you're going to see all that I did through you and in you in the midst of that difficult circumstances. And today, I'll tell you, I gave God thanks and praise for that difficult season of my life because of what it's resulted in. I eat so much cleaner now. I eat so much healthier now. I'm telling you, my whole life, I can't even get into the whole part of it. My whole life has changed for the better because of it. And I was reminded that God really does take all things and turn them for his good of those who love him or called according to his purpose. I'm a testimony of it. And I'm telling you, God wants to do the same thing in your life too. But you first have to be willing to obey to him and say, God, I want to give you thanks today. So I asked Andrew to sing this song. It's one of my favorite songs. It's a beautiful song, and it's a line that just says, bless my soul. Lord, just bless my soul. And I thought we would join like David did in Psalm 103. Regardless of the circumstance you're in, can you really say, God, I know that you are working all things out for my good? I don't know the circumstance you're in, but I can promise you, God is working all things out for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And so I just asked Andrew to sing this song for just a moment. And as he sings this song, I want to invite you just to give thanks to God right where you are. Just give thanks to God. Declare that victory. Give thanks to God for all that he has done. And this is important. All that you know by faith, he will do. I don't care the doctor report, your financial hardship, whatever the circumstance. Paul says, whatever the circumstance, you give thanks to God. And watch what God does in your life. He is worthy of our praise. You give thanks to God. God is working all things out for your good. Jesus, right now, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for all that you have done, all that you're going to do. Jesus, we give you thanks in advance. We're not thankful for, we're thankful in all circumstances. Let's give them thanks, Brave.